All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Parshas Lech Lecha. As we move through Sefer Bereishis, we're introduced to Avram Avinu. What I'd like to do is we started last week really working through the writings of Rav Hirsch, of Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, the great leader of the German Jewish community in the late 1800s. Fascinating insights in his commentary on Chumash. I'd like to share two different comments that he makes to two stories in the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha is familiar, as we've gone through, I think it's a fourth or fifth cycle now working through this Chumash here. I'm sure we have done the opening psukim before, but we'll work through it in his approach. Two different episodes towards the beginning of the parsha, and really see how they fit together very nicely. Let us begin right from the beginning. What I want to do is let's learn the first three psukim, which are a unit together, and then we'll go back through some of his comments on it. Pasuk says as well, now we were introduced briefly to Avram, the person, at the end of last week's parsha. The Torah tells us in the genealogy we're introduced to Terach, who is the father of Avram, and Avram's two brothers, and some of their children, and how they left, and how they married. But this is the first, as our parsha begins, the first communication between Hashem and Avram. Now, it's possible Hashem had spoken to Avram before this, but we don't have any record of it. So this is the first time the Torah sees fit to tell us about the communication, which I think it's fair to assume is the first, but not necessarily. That we don't actually, we don't know. Vayomer Hashem el Avram. Hashem says to Avram as follows, Lech lecha me'artzecha umimoladetcha umibeis avicha el ha'aretz asher areka. Leave, go. Go for yourself, literally, lech lecha, it should be for you. Where are you going from? From your land, from the place of your birthplace, from your father's home, to the land that I will show you. Now again, this is, there's much to discuss in terms of the context of this. Like, where is this coming from? All of a sudden, Hashem says to Avram, go, you need to leave. I'm going to show you the land, but I'm not going to tell you where it is that you're going, which Rashi right away comments on was to sort of leave it hanging. I want you to leave, and I'm not even telling you where you're going, but you need to leave where you are. We have, of course, the three different levels, from your land, from the place of your birth, from your father's home, and you're going to go to the land that I will show you. Rav Hirsch, as we'll see in a moment, really picks up on how the first communication that the Torah wants us to know between Hashem and Avram is an idea of follow after me. Leave the place that you are and go and start something new. What does Hashem promise Avram if he in fact does this and leaves everything behind? Ve'escha legoy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. Ve'avarchecha, and I will bless you. Ve'agadla shemecha, and I will make your name great. Ve'heyei bracha, and you shall be a blessing. Four things listed in this pasuk, that you will become a great nation, you will be blessed, you will be, your name will become great, and then veheyei bracha, and you shall be a bracha. Hashem then concludes, let's do one more pasuk together, va'avarcha mivarcheka, I will bless those who bless you, umekalelcha or, and I will curse those who curse you. V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adamah, that all the families of the earth shall bless themselves by you. These are big blessings. These are not just blessings like you'll make a lot of money. These are blessings that you will become a great name and a great nation. You'll become a blessing to those who bless you, and those who curse you will be cursed, and then all the families of the earth will bless themselves by you. Those are our opening three psukim, which Hashem, again, to the best of our knowledge, or at least what's recorded, introduces himself to Avram. Leave and things will be great for you. Rav Hirsch points out, even before we get into the meat and potatoes of what he says, that these blessings of becoming a great nation and being blessed and having your name great correspond to the three things that he's leaving: his homeland, the place of his birth, his father's home. You'll be made whole in every way. It will work out in your own best interest. Let's take a look at how Rav Hirsch sees this command, this idea of leaving everything behind as the beginning point of our new nation. The idea is, he writes, that Hashem gives every individual the external conditions which he needs to succeed. So he has a long piece discussing what it means to have a father's home, what it means to have a birthplace, what it means to have your land, that a person's land gives us our, he uses the language clothing, so to speak. It gives us the externals of who we are. Every place has its characteristics. Every place has its personality. Every place has its values and its systems. And when you grow up in a certain place, there is without question that element of where you grew up shapes the people who we are, the way we think, and the way we view the world. This is given. We all understand this. You know, it's a little bit, we always ask people when we meet, like, where are you from? Because just knowing where they're from already tells us a little bit about the way that they grew up. Whether or not if a person says, I grew up in Israel or I grew up in Miami, you don't know them personally, but you know that they're coming from completely different worlds. And those worlds, of course, influence and impact the people who we are today. That's a given. So Hirsch has a long discussion about that. And very often you see in his writings the culture in which he was writing about, which was in Germany in the late 1800s, was a very nationalistic. It was a big thing as it remained in Germany for many years to come, being part of the fatherland. So he writes, A, how much being from a certain place influences, and he describes in detail how it influences the different aspects of who we are, but let's just talk about it in broad terms for now. We are who we are, and we're influenced by the place in which we grow up. And he says, I mention these things to show how deeply Torah thought values the homeland, the fatherland. And he says it's not to belittle this factor, it's just the opposite, he writes. The Torah appreciates how much one's fatherland, he uses that language, influences a person to appreciate what it means when Hashem says to Avram, you need to leave that place. What the appreciation is of what Avram is being asked to do, and to leave the ruling tendency of his age, of Avraham's age. He needed to get away from it. What was that ruling tendency of Avram's age that he needed to leave? So here Rav Hirsch brings us back to last week's parsha, which we did not, I believe, discuss last week, and that is the story of the Tower of Bavel, the Migdol Bavel, this big tower which is built, which Hashem comes and disperses everybody from and mixes up their language. Without getting into the details of all of that story, Rav Hirsch had a long piece last week on that, which I just want to mention in brief because he references it here. That was the idea of the power of community coming together to be able to accomplish that which the individual can't. And that is a intrinsically positive idea. The idea that when individuals band together, what they can accomplish together is more than what they can do as a unit, as a community, than what they can as individuals. Rav Hirsch, last week when he spoke about this, discusses the idea of a community doesn't die. Individuals die, but the community continues. The community can build on itself. A community can further an agenda much longer than any individual person can. And the strengths and resources when pulled together, there's just a force in community. But there's also a potential corruption of community. Community is valuable when it then adds to each individual's life because of the power of community. When individuals come together and form a community, and then that community, in its newfound power, can then enhance the lives of the individual members, that is the system as it's supposed to be. What the Tower of Bavel demonstrated was when a community comes together and it kills the individuals for the sake of the community. It sacrifices the individuals and says, every individual must give of themselves for the sake of community. And that community itself becomes the end goal. You have to give yourself up for this purpose, the empty idol of building a tower. What's the purpose? We want to build a tower. Why? To make ourselves great. Na'aseh lanu shem. They used the language in last week's parasha. We want to build for ourselves a name. That's what we want. We want this big tower, which, he writes, has just remanifested itself throughout the centuries of different cultures and societies having different ideals of they want to build to make themselves a name. And everybody needs to be part of it. And if an individual and his values and his individual life is sacrificed for the sake of, that's a corruption of community. Community needs to be then giving back and enhancing the life of the individual. And in Rav Hirsch's world, particularly in the Jewish world, on a spiritual level, in which, l'shem Hashem, in order to call out in the name of Hashem, We have this value of community. All of that brief synopsis, Avram is called, you need to leave that. This demand, let me just read a line or two of this. Not individualism, not the recognition of the worth of the importance of the individual, but the centralization which make men lose their personal value. That's what was going on in Avram's time. He was already alive during the building of the Tower of Babel, in which the individual, you have to lose your individual. I've quoted this Medrash before when we discussed that episode at length. I think we did it last year or 2 years ago. The Medrash says, when they were building the tower, if a person fell off the scaffolding and died, they would push him aside and say, onward with the project. But if a brick fell off the scaffolding and shattered, they would stop what they were doing and mourn the loss of the brick and say, oh, when will we have a brick to replace the one that we lost? And Rav Hirsch saw in that Medrash, the corruption of what it means when the individual gives up their life for a project versus when the project is there in order to enhance back the individual life. So Avram is told it's time to leave. Now what this creates on two levels is when Avram, this first command to Avram is to leave, sets in motion Jewish history and the value of community on two levels. Number one, there is a value. There is a tremendous value in community, but lech lecha, you need to leave and you will be an individual that goes against the grain, and you must always go against that grain if necessary, no matter what that community is doing. So for example, he says so much with so much depth, it's hard to keep everything straight. So on the one hand, there's a value of community. But on the other hand, sometimes an individual can cover himself or hide behind community, this powerful entity called community. Let's say the community creates a standard or has a certain behavior that's not appropriate, but everybody is doing it. The whole community is doing it. Let's just say cheating on taxes, just choosing a random example. Everybody's doing it. Everybody does that. Nobody reports that. Now, you're an individual living in such a community. So, Rav Hirsch uses that as an example of go for yourself. Lech lecha, you have to leave. Stand as being higher still. Nobody may say, Rav Hirsch writes, I'm just as good and honest as everybody else in the community. This is the fashion today. This is what everybody does. It's okay for me too. It's never okay for a Jew to be less than what's required of him or her, just because everybody else is doing it. Lech lecha, Hashem says to Avram, you have to leave the community you're in right now, because it's not behaving the way that it needs to, and you need to leave that. And that is, similarly the message that's sent out to Jews throughout Jewish history. Sometimes you need to be aware, it's a lech lecha. I need to be like an Avraham, in which I go on my own, despite whatever's going on around me. The one thing that will connect us is the connection to Hashem, not necessarily to everybody else. There's a second point that he raises here, which I then want to just comment on, and then we move forward, is, he puts in quote, up-to-date Judaism. What he's referring to, I feel pretty strongly about, is Rav Hirsch, of course, in the late 1800s, was fighting an Orthodox battle against the Reform movement, which had swept through Germany and become the dominant thread or stream of Jewish practice, was the Reform movement. And the issue was always new to the rabbis, modernize, become up to date. It's a new world. We're living in new times. It's the late 1850s. I'm sure they, as we do today, felt that they were on the cutting edge of technology and on development of the world around them. And you need to be up to date, Rabbi, you could hear them saying to Rav Hirsch. As Rav Hirsch was standing on his standing his ground on traditions, and this is what we do with Shabbos, and this is how we keep kosher. All of those things which were going by the wayside, in which Reform wanted to do away with all ritual. Just keep the morals and the ethics of the religion, but none of the rituals. There's no need for tefillin, no need for tzitzis, no need for Shabbos, no need for kashrus. Bring the organ into the synagogue the way they do in the churches. You need to become up to date. So Rav Hirsch writes, up to date Judaism. The loudest protest against that are these words of Lech Lecha. Avraham needed to leave everything that was going on around him and tie himself in to the land that Hashem says, I will show you. This is the way that you are going to live, and it doesn't matter that which is going on around. And that is the battle cry of a Jew as we continue today. Now, we do certain things to modernize, of course. We do certain things to stay up to date. Any shul today that says, no, we're not going to use Zoom because it's like our grandfathers didn't use Zoom, so like we don't want to be up to date. That shul's not going to make it. But that's because that's being up to date in how we communicate with each other. But up to date as far as fads or new ideas, as far as religious ideas go, that's the balance always that we need to have of this is how we do things, this is how we've always done things, versus recognizing that's a very delicate balance, but the idea of whatever's going on around us is what we do, because that's up to date. Lech Lecha is the opening words to Avram, literally the first words that say you need to leave whatever was going on around you, you follow me, that is your anchor. That has always been our anchor, and as it continues to be. Okay, moving along. What happens when Avram will leave? Hashem says to him, Ve'eschet legoy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. So Rav Hirsch points out, quoting from a Medrash, that the language is, I will make you into a great nation, which is an interesting language. It does not use the language of, you will organically grow into a great nation, but I will make you into a great nation. What's implied with that language? So as Rav Hirsch writes, you need to know that only God can make Avram into a great nation. There is no natural progression or natural external condition that will lead to it, but in fact, every natural condition of life would say, you're never going to make it, Avram. It is unnatural that you're going to have a child at 100 years old and your wife is going to be 90. And from that moment on, the existence of the Jewish people is going to go against every natural rule of law that says, of course, a nation that's been persecuted for thousands of years, that has had one hand tied behind its back, that's been pogromed and inquisition and Holocaust and everything in between, of course they'll be able to maintain themselves. Of course they can survive 2,000 years of exile. Of course they can return home and become such a powerful nation in just 75 years. None of that is natural. Hashem's language is, I will make you into a great nation, and you will see, if you only open your eyes and study Jewish history, there is but nothing, not from the birth of our first child, Yitzchak, until today, that is a natural progression of what happens in the world. It's because of the promise that Hashem gave us, Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation, and it will be obvious to all that it is indeed I who is making you into that great nation. Okay, next. Next. The language that Hashem uses is Veheye bracha. You will become a bracha. That language at the end of the second pasuk. I will bless you. You'll become great, and then you'll be a blessing. This language, Rav Hirsch points out, is such a beautiful language. Most nations of the world, he writes, strive to be blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? To have what one needs: the resources, the money, fame, wealth, whatever it may be. I want to be blessed. The Jewish nation, as here in this first communication that Hashem gives to Avram, have a different agenda. It's not our agenda to just be blessed, but to be a blessing. To be a blessing is to be the source, a role model in Rav Hirsch's life, again, in his language, to dedicate ourselves with all our devotion to the divine purpose of bringing happiness to the world and to mankind, and to be role models to establish man in our original pure calling of Adam HaRishon. Those are big words. We want to bring happiness to the world. We want to bring perfection to the world. We want to bring an agenda of what mankind can be. We don't wake up in the morning and say, I hope I'll be blessed today with success and I'll make some money. I want to be a blessing in the world where people see us and understand there's a purpose to why we live. There's a goal to what we're doing here, to why we have this whole game called life. It's to accomplish something. It's to bring godliness to the world. It's to bring peace, happiness, all of the things that we want to be able to do. That is all encompassed in this language of v'heyei bracha, be a blessing. That is really a magnificent, beautiful idea. Not just to want to be blessed. I want to be the source of blessing of all that goes on into the world. Okay, let's move on. That is a brief synopsis. I really did not cover all of it for sure, but just wanted to touch on how Rav Hirsch sees in these opening psukim the agenda of stand alone. A Jew has been a minority people always, no matter what is going on. Oh, there's one more point I wanted to make. I knew there was one more point. I had it in my head. I kept looking for it. In the idea of standing alone, as I mentioned, there's a concept of community that exists. And in that community, there's a concept called majority. Like we take votes. And when a majority speaks to something, so then we generally follow it. It's the world of democracy, which has existed for the last couple of hundred years. Certainly in Rav Hirsch's time already. And Rav Hirsch makes a big point of pointing out that just because the majority thinks something does not make it right. We've seen that obviously over and over again in history. Yes, there could be such a thing of people voting, and democracy is a nice system that gives people the power to choose their leadership. But just because the majority of people want a certain thing doesn't make it right. This doesn't even need to be explained, but just for the sake of the example, I teach in a classroom, so I have 17 students and one teacher, and if I were to take a vote whether or not we should end class early on any particular day, I could tell you that it's going to be 17-1 every single time. That doesn't mean that just because all 17 of my students want something, that makes it right. And the same is true when you take any group of individuals, not just students, but any adult. It's okay, the majority wants this. Now, we follow the majority in many ways, and certainly in a democratic society, we're used to that concept. And Rav Hirsch writing, it says, before all of this, well before democracy was a concept, listen, as Jews, we know if we were to base a religion on numbers as well and say, what's the correct religion? Well, let's just look around the world and see who has the most followers. Is it Islam? Is it Christianity? Or is it Judaism? If just taking the big three, we would never come out on top. Because more people believe in other things. Not even close. We measure Christianity and Islam in billions and Jews in under 20 million. It's not even a discussion. But we don't follow majority. That doesn't mean it's right just because more people think in a certain way. And the opening words to Avram is, Lech Lecha. You're going to leave the place of your origin and you're going to set something up by yourself because we are, have been, and will be a minority people who go against the grain of whatever the fads of the time are, whether they be in religious or other types of thinking. That doesn't, oh, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's right. Jews individually have always been at the forefront of almost any ism you can create or think of. Historically speaking, there's been an overrepresentation of Jews involved. That's the type of people we are, pushing envelopes, trying new things. But that doesn't mean as a whole that every ism is right, just because that might be the majority thinking. And we have ingrained in who we are from the very beginning, a Lech Lecha, to often stand alone against the whatever it is that's going on around us. Now, with all that, that's the opening psukim. I'd like to take a look briefly at the end of the opening series of psukim here in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Torah tells us that Avraham does. He takes his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and they pick up, they leave Haran, and they head to the land of Canaan. Avraham gets there. He walks all through the land, and Hashem says to him, this is the land that you will get for you, for your children. He builds a Mizbeach. And then the Torah says, right after he arrives, here in the top of your page, Vayihira of Baaretz, and there was a famine in the land. And Avram leaves. Avram goes down to Mitzrayim to dwell there because the famine was so heavy in the land, he wasn't able to stay there. On the way down, we have one of the most perplexing stories in Tanakh. He approaches Mitzrayim, the Torah says, and he turns to his wife Sarai and says, listen, I know that you are a very beautiful woman. Problem is, he says, when the Egyptians see you as we're about to arrive in Egypt running away from the famine, they're going to say, Ishtozos, this woman is this man's wife. V'hargu osi, v'osach yichayu, they're going to kill me and they're going to let you live. That's terrible, says Avram. So Imri na achoti at, so why don't you tell everybody that you're my sister? And in this way, they'll give me good things, trying to win your hand, and I'll live on your account. And that's exactly what happens. She's eventually taken to Paro and is almost violated before Hashem steps in and makes it clear to Paro that that would be a bad idea. And Sarai is returned to her husband Avram. Rav Hirsch asks, as all of the commentators do, on these both aspects of this story, he writes, is striking in his language, his translated language, of course. I don't read German. And that is, number one, Hashem just promised Avraham the land. He promised him that he's going to make him into a great nation. He's going to bless all these wonderful things. And then as soon as he gets there's a famine, and Avraham leaves. How could he leave? Why didn't he think that he would be supported by Hashem in the land? How did he pick up and leave after all of these promises? That's question number one, which is addressed. Rashi, the Ramban, everybody asks addresses these issues. And number two, how could he put his wife in such a compromised position? He literally handed her off to be violated by the Egyptians. Hashem steps in eventually and creates a miracle. What gave him the right to say, listen, you're very beautiful. Why don't you just say that you're my sister and then they'll give me gifts and you'll live. But she's taken right away when that happens. So Rav Hirsch quotes the Ramban. The Ramban, commenting on the fact that Avram let his wife Sarah be taken, the Ramban says that indeed was a mistake. Chet chata Avram avinu b'shogeg. He made an error in the way that he handled this situation, in the fact that he allowed that to take place and to have Sarah taken. Rav Hirsch makes two comments, one within the commentary of the Ramban, and then he says, I have a different approach on the whole thing. Within the commentary of the Ramban, that Avraham made a mistake, Rav Hirsch has a long piece expressing the idea that the Torah never shies away from the errors of our great Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe. The Torah does not hide their mistakes. It does not hide their errors, and it does not hide their humanness. They are not deities. They are not, he writes very clearly, and we have never made human beings into godlike figures. And the Torah points out their errors. He even goes so far as to say, Rav Hirsch, that it's actually their errors that we're told about which bring out their greatness. When you find out that Moshe, for example, he writes, who was described as an anav mikol adam, as the most humble of all people, but you see, Moshe gets angry at the Jewish people and he yells at them here. When you see, he made mistakes and he became the most humble of all people on earth. That shows that's how life works. We are not born as tzaddikim. We have to become tzaddikim, and the Torah never shies away from that. So A, he says, when the Ramban points out that this episode in which Avram gives over his wife Sarah to be taken to by the Egyptians, and the Ramban says it was a mistake, he says, it's okay. The Torah tells us to follow Hashem's ways. I'm perfect, Hashem writes. Human beings are not. When they do things that are great, follow them. When they do things that are wrong, learn from them. But that's always been our process. But, Rav Hirsch writes, even as the Ramban says that this was a mistake, I think if we look at the episode, he says, we can actually see that it wasn't such a terrible error, not on either way, and in fact, not in either part, the fact that he left the land and the fact that he gave over Sarah, and in fact, it has great lessons for us. And the lessons are really very similar in both. Number one, he says, the fact that he left. Let's talk about that for a moment. What was his option? His option was to stay in a place with no food, no water, famine all around, people deserting left and right to find places where they can live. His option was, I could stay. I could stay and say, Hashem promised me this land. It's going to be okay. He'll take care of me miraculously. Or he could leave and take care of his family. Rav Hirsch says, Avram is teaching us that, first of all, here, let me reform again. He said, first of all, there was no Avram before Avram. He didn't have anyone to learn from. He didn't have 40 years of Jews in the desert being fed from man from heaven, like we know as readers of the Chumash that Hashem provided in miraculous ways. He didn't have any of that. All he has is the land that he was told to go to, which he went to, which now is inhospitable. You can't live in it. There's nothing there. There's no food. So he could have stayed relying on a miracle, or he could have done whatever he needed to do to take care of himself and his family. The first verse, Avram taught us, we don't rely on miracles, we do whatever we need to do to take care of ourselves. And if that means there's a bump in the divine scheme of things, but Hashem promised me this land, okay, so there's going to be a little bit of a detour, there'll be a little bit of a historical bump, now you need to live. That doesn't take away from the promise that we're living with. That doesn't take away that Hashem said this is going to happen, so it's going to happen. I thought it was going to happen on this timeline. Maybe it's going to happen on a different timeline. That is not a problem for us, that it doesn't go exactly or smoothly in the way that we thought it was going to go. And we do whatever we have to do to survive. That's our job. Hashem will take care of us, but we do what we need to do. To sit in a land of famine with no food and no water and say, take care of me, that's not our way. And Avram already teaches us that from the very beginning. In the land that Hashem promised us, he heads out in order to get the food and necessary sustenance that he needs. It's a lesson for all Jewish history. Many bumps on the road to redemption. Many bumps along our path. It doesn't take us away from the path. It doesn't take us away from the divine promises that we have. And along the way, we do whatever we need to do to take care of ourselves, to survive and move Jewish history forward. And if it means leaving the land, you leave the land. We'll come back. We'll come back. That's A. Beautiful idea. Number two, he says, on the fact that he gives Sarah over, he says, you have to note, this actually happens three more times. Avram himself does this again later in our parsha. His son Yitzchak does the same thing. But first writes, it's so clear that in that era, if you had a beautiful wife and you went to a new place, there was no avoiding the situation that it was going to be a problem showing up with such a woman and that they were going to do whatever they needed to the husband. And Avram makes the following calculation. It's almost the exact same calculation. He said, if we show up married, it's a guarantee what's going to happen. I'm going to be killed and they're going to violate her. That's what happens. It's immediate and then you're done. When he said, he refers to the language, Osi hargu, they're going to kill me, v'osach yichayu, and you they'll let live. That was what he calls like a euphemism, a nice way of saying it. That's not a good, you know what's going to happen? You're going to live to be violated, watching me be killed. This is a terrible option. But if we show up not as a married couple, we show up in which I'm your protector, you are a single woman, it was clear that the culture would then try to win her hand in marriage from the brother. It was just a different episode. A married couple came, they killed the husband. If it was just her brother, they would try to win her over through the brother. And that was somehow it's just the way that it was. So Avram makes the same calculation. This is a better method of survival. It just delays the game. It gives more time for something to happen, which eventually does. So he makes a plan on the way in. This is our plan because it's the best plan to survive. What's going to happen later? I don't know. But if we don't come with this plan, it's almost a definitive disaster, and we're relying on a miracle the moment we get there because there's nothing else that can happen. So let's go with a plan that gives us the best chance of survival. That's the plan that they carry through. It was not a matter of him giving her, there was no way of avoiding the confrontation. He created it in a way that gave the best chance of survival, which is what happened. And that's the path, again, the same path of how things go in Jewish history. These two ideas that we started with and that we finished really tie in very nicely. Avram is given a blessing. His blessing is, be an individual. Be an individual. You're going to have to leave aside community. If the community is not adhering to certain standards, you're going to leave beside the majority. Majority doesn't mean it's necessarily right. You're going to live as a minority people always. You're going to attach yourself to me, but you're going to become a blessing. Within that role, as the next episode then teaches us, that does not give a person a right to say, I'm living on miracles. I don't need to take care of myself. I don't need to worry about my survival, my sustenance. I'm going to be blessed and I'll become a blessing. I'm going against the grain and I can do whatever I want and take whatever. No, the two go together. Yes, we're going to go against the grain. Yes, we're going to be minority. We're going to be individuals. We have a mission to bring to the world, which the world and the majority of the world doesn't share. And we're going to do so with conviction. And at the same time that we do that with conviction, we also, if we have to leave our country because there's a famine, that's what we do. We survive. We do whatever is necessary to live another day. And if it means, as Avram does, It might just be one more day. This tactic is immediate death. This tactic gives me a couple more days. So go with that tactic. We'll see what happens then. Even with our being a minority, with our living alone, with that whole approach, the very next episode also teaches us the responsibility of take care of yourself, take care of your family, survive, do whatever is necessary. We don't rely on miracles to be able to do so. We do what we need to do. Hashem will help us as well, 100%. But we are required to do what we need to do. You combine those two things, and you have a people, a miraculous people. Ve'e'escha l'goy gadol, Hashem says, I will make you into a great nation. It will not be natural. Not in any way, shape, or form. But if you do what you need, you take care of yourselves, I will make you into that great nation way above and beyond the natural order of things. It won't make sense to any historian looking at your people, looking at your story, but it will happen that indeed you will become numerous like the stars and the sand of the sea, and what we still continue to work towards and yearn for, v'heye bracha, that we should be a blessing to the entire world, that the world will bless themselves with us and say, indeed, that is the way that a human being is supposed to live. Halavai, we should continue to live in such a way and to be that image of Hashem in this world, on carrying on our shoulders the name of Avraham Avinu through this Lech Lecha that Hashem gave him in the beginning of this week's Parsha. Always great to learn with you. Wishing you all a wonderful day.